I'm Alana Roche.
And I'm Dr. Lauren Costine. And welcome to The Consciousness Salon.
The Consciousness Salon is a conversation where I, community activist Alana, meets with psychologist Dr. Lauren to explore current and historical issues in order to disrupt current paradigms and offer restorative tools and practices.
We will be discussing issues ranging from gender parity, misogyny, shadow work, microaggressions, looking at our internalized conscious or unconscious racism. And at the end of the day, how all of this affects how we feel about ourselves and others, and so much more.
Welcome back, everyone. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Alana.
Oh, man. So we have a big, we have a really amazing guest today, but we actually have a really huge topic that we want to discuss. I feel like as always,
and we're going to do our best to kind of, because we're not going to do it all today, which I think is really important. I mean, and as far as diving into the entire topic today, but we're really going to get in touch with some important pieces.
Yes.
And I think what we want to celebrate too is this is our first guest.
Yeah, this is a big deal. So it is our first guest.
It's our first
We're not releasing the name quite yet. we'll release her name soon, and that's a little hint.
A little hint.
The pronoun. But we are going to, today's topic is going to be on biphobia and also internalized biphobia. And I'm going to let Dr. Lauren here step in and share a little bit about biphobia and kind of define that for us.
Yeah, so let's define biphobia and internalized, right?
Correct.
Okay. So biphobia is basically the irrational fear and or hatred of people who identify as bisexual. And what is really important to know about that is it's found in both the straight communities and the LGBTQ queer communities. So for bisexual people, they experience biphobia against them in either community that they may be landing in or spending a lot of time in or what have you. And this is a really big problem. Then within our own community, the biphobia is so fierce that the other way it manifests is the invisibility. So it's really, and that's one of the reasons that we are having this talk today is, again, we want to be part of the solution and part of the awareness, the conscious raising around the fact that bisexual people in our community feel invisible, not seen, not understood, not cared about.
Yeah, not understood for sure.
Right.
There's a huge education piece here.
Huge education piece. So we're going to dive into a bit of that today. So that's biphobia. Now, internalized biphobia is this idea, and we're going to get into all the internalized phobia pieces, but it's the idea that when you grow up with these messages that bisexuality is wrong or sinful or, you know, it's not okay in the community that you belong to or what have you.
It's greedy.
Which is one of the terms.
So many cuss words that want to come out of my mouth right now when I hear that. I'm so triggered. Yes, continue, Lauren.
We unconsciously internalize those messages, and we hide them deep into the shadow, which we've talked about, right? And then they remain there, and they're not really in our awareness, and then they can come out in ways of, like, self-esteem issues or feeling of self-worth or feeling good enough or having a voice or a whole host of things, self-love.
Yeah, how do you become empowered?
How do you become empowered
when you are dealing with all that?
Yeah, and it's such a good point, because what happens is when this stuff is sort of inside of you like that, it takes a ton of energy to keep it there. So it can come out a lot of ways, other symptoms of, you know, addictions or just not feeling good, not reaching your potential. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but because it's such an energy drain, right, to have these feelings, these negative feelings about yourself buried inside. So those are the two kind of pieces, and we'll get more into that.
Right, because it's the suppression, right? Suppressing your authenticity and how that ends up showing up in ways of, like, coping, right, through addictions. And that's usually how it ends up in most people, is developing addictions to cope.
And it can add to, you know, anxiety, depression. Like, it's because anxiety, depression, things that are actually also neurotransmitter problems can start out situational. And when it's situational for a long enough time, it can turn into chemical. And
meaning, like, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're not feeling good about yourself, or you're feeling depressed or anxious about things, and then that the neurotransmitters are firing that way, or they're being used up, or they're not being replenished properly. And then the next thing you know, you are not making any of those chemicals yourself at all. And then we call that clinically depressed, or clinically, like, generalized anxiety disorder, or those kind of things that become real.
Wow.
You know, so that is in the sort of, like, that category, as well as, you know, acting out through addictions or repression or...
It's so crazy that you use the word situational, right? Because in my head I'm thinking, oh, it has to come from trauma. But like, no, it could just be a daily occurrence, microaggression that you're experiencing regularly, that you finally are like, I'm shutting down.
Yeah.
It's too much. I've gone beyond my threshold.
Yeah. The window of tolerance.
The window of tolerance.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Breaks down. Yeah.
Thank you, Lauren, for that.
You're welcome.
She's so smart, folks. I love it. I love learning from her. Yeah, it's so great. So we do have the fabulous Ashley Shine on our show today. Welcome, Ashley.
Everyone.
Welcome, Ashley.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for that, like, description. I was just like, wow, that is a lot.
It's a lot, right?
It's a lot. Yeah.
I actually want to share Ashley's bio for everyone. If you don't have access to IMDb, I'm going to quickly share a few, just some of her experience. She is an actress, writer, and improviser.
Improviser.
Oh my God.
Improviser.
Improviser.
Yeah.
It's a word I never say.
Yeah, no, we don't say that that often.
Improviser. I should have probably read this before.
It's all
from Dayton, Ohio. She was bitten by the acting bug after seeing a stage production of Mice and Men. After studying theater at the University of Toledo, she decided to relocate to LA, Los Angeles, to pursue a career in television and film. Ashley is best known for her roles in Johnson Family Dinner, Dyke Central, and Don't Touch Me If You Ain't Prayed.
Part two.
I saw that. When Ashley is not appearing on the silver screen, you can find her performing live, improv, and sketch comedy shows with her queer POC, people of color, for those of you who don't know, team named Rainbow Bright Comedy.
But we just retired, so...
Wah, wah, wah.
That usually means other opportunities are on their way.
Yes, everyone has great opportunities right now, so you can catch them in a ton of film, behind the scenes, or performing just live around LA.
Awesome. All right. So we are going to jump right into our questions, and let's learn more about you and your own bisexuality, Ashley. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Awesome.
It's time to educate our listeners.
It's
time to highlight your voice.
Yeah, we really want to continue the awareness around something as important as this, right?
Absolutely.
So, do you want to ask the first question, Alana?
Sure. Have you experienced biphobia in your life?
Yes.
You were like, yes.
Yes!
Not to be so thirsty saying yes. My mother, when I first came out, she thought I was greedy. Like you had mentioned.
And you said another word. Can we say it?
Yeah, go ahead and say it. What did I say?
Kinky?
Huh? Kinky. Oh, yes. That was very kinky. Very kinky.
To be bi.
A lot of my other friends think because I'm bisexual that I must have been attracted to them at one particular time. And I had to be like, just because I'm bisexual doesn't mean you would necessarily be my type.
That's so real.
It's so real.
That shit is so real. It's so farce. It's just, it's such a farce. It's so false.
Well, it's so interesting. When you're coming out with your own sexual orientation, they make it about themselves.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, let's make it about me now. That means you must be attracted to me. Because...
Yeah, my best friend was making it about her. Like, you never tried to hit on me. And I'm like, oh, gross. Like,
you were my best friend. We've been friends
for over 25 years. Why would I do that? Why? In what place besides one of these Hallmark movies would that actually happen?
Right. 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 Yes. Yeah.
Then oftentimes when I, definitely when I was when I first came out and I was trying to date within the LGBT community, oh my God, that was extremely hard because the moment I would say I was bi, that was like a deal breaker. Like, I don't date bi women. I'm not into that. That's gross. You've been with men. Like.
You're talking about lesbian identified women, right? That would be like this too. And they would say some pretty, I mean, really nasty stuff.
Yes.
You can say it if you want. I mean, they would just be like.
They would be like, you've had a dick inside of you. So, which now that I know how women have sex, I mean.
There's all kinds of things
that
going on.
Yeah, that would have been. I mean, it's just a lot to process, and especially since, I guess, when you're growing up and you watch TV and you create all these heroes and sheroes that you have, and then you look around and you can't find a resource for yourself, it gets to be extremely frustrated, because then being from a small town, like, where I'm from, I can't say that there was a ton of examples of what a bisexual should be or how we should live out loud and proud. And yeah.
No, and you know, and of course we're seeing more of it. We'll get into that in a moment. But when all of us,
influx, finally,
when all of us were growing up, there was zero visibility about any.
Which
things.
Is sad.
I mean, what I had was Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge.
Which was like, well, that doesn't work for me.
Right.
That's like the furthest thing from representation for me.
Me was.
Guess I'm not gay.
The right. Color person.
Guess I'm not gay. Don't relate to her.
I don't understand.
Me was the color purple. I mean, seeing Alice Walker's The Color Purple and seeing that kiss, I was like, oh my God. Like, that is okay. Like, seeing that, I was just like, that's okay, but also, you don't talk about it, you don't show it.
And they hid.
And they hid.
Yeah. Even though that was such a powerful scene, that kiss was such a powerful scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, then there's that other dichotomy of the other piece going on.
Right.
Which is the, like, this is really bad.
And then I talked about Brewster Place, and, you know, they had a lesbian couple in there, and just... There was, I mean, it showed the dangers of being out and proud in the Midwest. So it was kind of, and I lived in the Midwest, so it was just kind of, it was a lot to process. It wasn't until, like, the L word came along where I realized, oh, people can actually live in their truth. And this whole world makes sense. And I need to immediately... move to Los Angeles and live in West Hollywood that I could not afford
specifically.
Yes.
You were like, how do I make this my reality?
Yes.
Now? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you were alone in that. Not at
not
all.
At all.
Yeah. Not at all.
No.
And we're,
and that's,
know,
why
Laura,
we stay.
Laura and I live in West Hollywood, right. So we're guilty.
Yeah. And then that's why this city stays relevant for the LGBTQ community, like, very relevant. Shows like that help, right? And it sounds like the visibility really helped you. And then there's, you know, Alice the bi character.
Alice the bi character, even though she wasn't like super like bi and strong. It was like the first season she mentioned it and her friends made fun of her about it and didn't really create this safe space for her to just live in that moment of who she was. But they also didn't do that for trans people.
That's
either.
Right. Yeah.
So I think the B's and the T's are constantly trying to find acceptance within their daily lives.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, yeah, Alice was there, problematic. But I think at least she was there. And what you were also witnessing or experiencing was what she was.
Right.
Which was the rejection, yeah, or the disgust, or like that's
the not shaming.
The shaming. Let's not talk about it. Right. Let's just not talk about it.
I hated the one scene where, you know, she was with Dana and Dana's fiance at the time, and she was just like, well, which one do you want more? Like, which one would you want to put in your mouth more? And she's holding up like this chocolate dick and then this breast. And I was just like, oh, no, don't make her choose. Like, I mean, she loves you, so let that be her choice. But she can't say that because you're actually involved with someone. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think it's really important that we're bringing in this kind of media and the representation of the lack of, or maybe mirroring what was really kind of going on then.
Yeah, I think it is a reflection of that time.
Of that time.
I mean, trans awareness has, I think, quadrupled since that show.
100%.
Right. So, yeah, everything is with time, right? But we weren't there yet.
No.
And that's sad because that was 10 years ago.
I know.
More than 10, 15 years ago, something like that. So,
yeah. But thankfully, and I think, you know, one of the reasons it's so important to hear your story, Ashley, is because people don't realize how bad it still is or how difficult it could be. I mean, you're out and proud now, but you're still...
I have to come out every day or a few times a week, you know. Every new person wants to assume because I have a wife that I'm a lesbian.
Right.
And
I did.
Yeah, so did I. No, yeah. I did this. We both did it too.
It's an honest assumption.
It's totally fine. It's just, there's no example of what a bisexual relationship is going to look like. Unless you're with maybe someone that's non-binary.
That's a really interesting point. And I would, on that note, I would even want to take it a step further to say that maybe there is room for us to create language. For instance, how we approach our non-binary trans brothers and sisters.
And bi, you know, brothers and sisters.
We're starting to learn language and acquire language around, you know, identifying our own pronouns, giving them permission to create, I mean, to share their pronouns. Maybe we do something along those lines in terms
of...
And more
of the asking, right? Instead of the assuming, I guess.
Right. How do we... identify ourselves to people we meet, therefore creating safe space for them to then share their identity.
Yeah.
Along those lines, parallel. You bring up a really great point.
I agree.
Maybe that's somewhere we can start to evolve as a community.
And more of the call of action.
Lauren just winked at me because she knows I love call to action. That's the world I live in.
Yes, and it's so important because we can sit here and pontificate all day, which we love to do. We love to chat about these really deep, rich, important conversations. But we also, at the end of it, have to have some sort of call to action or what can we do
to
make change.
Yeah.
Right.
We can march.
So if you wouldn't mind me just asking a few more questions. How do you think you've experienced internalized biphobia yourself?
So in the beginning, I just remember, you know, my godmother talking about how I used to kiss boys and girls all the time. She would pick me up from school and I would be kissing someone. And they're like, you can't do that and you can't do that. And I think for the longest time, I processed that growing up. Like, that is a no-no. So there was this other side of me outside of dating men that I knew nothing about. And I think for a long time, I was just like, every friend that I had that came out, I'm just like, ugh, I'm a low-key jealous. Like, A, how are you able to just live like this? And B, I kind of hate you right now because, like, this, it just seems so crazy to me. And then I remember moving here and my friend told me, she was just like, look, we're going to go to the club tonight, but women are not going to like girls like us. Bye, girls like us. Like, nope, they're not going to. And I was just like, what do you mean? And then she was just like, just don't tell anyone that you're bi. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to tell everyone I'm bi.
You're so courageous.
You're so courageous. I just love it.
Because I'm like,
you're like, no, I'm going to tell everybody.
Because I was just like, that's who I am. And I didn't want to hide. But once I finally said those things to my parents, oh my goodness, that's when the person that I thought was going to take it the worst got on a plane, came here, met my wife, Seppi, and my mom was, like, there for me.
Wow.
My dad, on the other hand, who is, like, my best friend, just did a 360 and went from, okay, I support you, this is just a phase, you go out and do your thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got engaged, it was, like, the most traumatizing experience. And I had so much anxiety just about coming out. Like I said, every single day, you got to come out. I had so much anxiety about coming out that it made me sick to my stomach. I didn't want to go to events. I did not want to act. I did not want to do any of this. Seppi is my wife. She showed me a Facebook post about Dyke Central casting. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to go. So I went. But before we went to the casting, we went to an Outfest event, and they were talking about killing gays in Africa. Had no idea about this.
This was the movie that you went to?
I went to the day before I was about to leave for the Bay Area.
Wow.
In the background, I see a picture of me because I do print modeling and stuff. So I'm on several billboards and they're just talking about how they go out and find these people. And I'm just like, this is just really giving me anxiety. I can't go to Oakland. We end up driving up there anyway. I audition for both Dyke Central and Throw Like a Girl. I was cast in both. Which was great. Let me just wrap this up because I'm making it longer than it needs to be. Shooting Dyke Central gave me the confidence. I never saw people of color that were out, bi, queer, trans, in one world, being friends. And this is like real life in the Bay Area. Like when I say community, they have community and they respect one another. Like I've never seen, it's like missing in West Hollywood. Like I know like West Hollywood is the staple place when people think of the L word and all of this, but we definitely do have our issues as a city. Like don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to see a show, which I would like you all to stream on Amazon Prime if you have it. It's called Dyke Central. To see that. And it's sad that it's not, like, mainstream, like, right, on a cable network, because it easily could be. ABC, Freeform, I don't know. I'm not trying to call it out.
HBO, Showtime.
But I think it's great that now you have shows like Vita. I don't need to explain my sexuality to you.
Right.
The character. I was just like, oh, and that's reaffirming.
I can say that.
Yes. Yeah. And
right, that is empowering.
It gives you power to see like someone that you can relate to being like, look, I own my sexuality. I don't need to answer any of your questions. Like, oh, wait, all of you are trying to gang up on me and define what it means for me and my queerness? Not today.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
So, it's changing.
Yes.
Ashley,
thank you.
If I hear you correctly, this is so great. What has been really helping you with your own internalized biphobia, too, is kind of going and having these experiences like Dyke Central, yes, or seeing a character like Vita where she's so, like, empowered and I'm not going to explain, you know, just really kind of owns it and is just doesn't care what people think kind of a thing. And has really been part of your process of doing that for yourself.
Okay. So there's going to be two parts to this question. Yes, Dyke Central will always be special to my heart because I found community and I found people that look like me too. I took improv classes at UCB and they were very inclusive. There was an inclusion class that Mono teaches. Please check it out at UCB.
That's right. Upright Citizens Brigade, folks.
Yes. Yes. In Los Angeles, cause they do have a New York branch. So also check them out too. But in Mono's class, I was just like, he was saying to take some of your monsters from your past, things that people say to you. How can you take that power back, make it funny? Mm. And I was just like, what? Because a lot of pain that everyone looks at these comedy series and think, oh my God, that is so hilarious. That's a lot of heartbreak. And to be able to take that and own it as a writer and as a comedy actress and really turn those monsters into comedy is great. And I think that now that you have shows like Vita, Good Trouble, they have bisexual characters, queer characters.
And you know what I'm thinking of too is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
They have bi, there's a bi man in there, there's a bi woman in there. They have a lot of queer characters, some racial diversity, not enough, but they have totally taken pain and turned it into comedy. Right. And so it's like an educational moment and it's funny at the same time. So you're kind of laughing while you're learning.
And that's how I feel about Good Trouble because it's kind of like a dramedy.
Yes, and a dramedy. It's, yeah, it's really, it's so well said, Ashley, because I think when folks are taking in this kind of information in this way, when they're finding themselves laughing, but they're also being taught, it's not as heavy-handed, and a lot of folks need that, right?
Yes.
And then you get to express your art in that way, yes, and you found a way to take some of this pain and then put it into this expressive art place, piece for you,
yes,
that has so much meaning, right? And really sounds like you, it just,
yeah,
it's a great thing for you to discover.
I mean, I'm lucky that there's places like Outfest. They had a microaggression, and I premiered my first ever short film. It was only 1 minute, but it was about the microaggressions. It's called Bifocal, about the microaggressions that we faced within the bi community. And I made it, of course, into comedy. But yeah, for a lot of people, they were like, ouch, that hurts. That's just like a glimpse into my day. And so I expanded on that and made a whole web series called Hashtag TMI.
Right.
And we start shooting this weekend and I'm super excited.
Well, congratulations.
Super excited for you. So quickly, as we wrap up, sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Give us a few of your bi heroes or bi heroes.
Okay. So definitely Sara Ramirez. I love Sara. You must know her from Grey's Anatomy as Callie. There is Michelle Sam. She's a great artist, director, producer, writer. Gio Espiritu. I'm always going to love Gio. She's a great actress. She's a director. She has a movie in Outfest. There's Dalila Ali Raja, there's Desiree that produced, what is that movie? Oh, no, 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 the show is Bisexual on Hulu, which was really great. Awesome. I hope it gets a season two. But yeah, and definitely the creator of Dyke Central, Florencia. She's also a bi artist, so yeah, check her out as well.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was very quick.
Yeah, yes, yeah, unfortunately.
So do you want to plug yourself if folks want to follow you and stay connected? And
Yes,
so go for it.
On Instagram is Ashley Shine, A-S-H-L-E-I-N-S-H-Y-N-E. Yeah, on Instagram. You can follow me and like see what I'm doing. And yeah,
IMDb too. You
have IMDb. Same spelling, because my legal name, a porn star, has it. So I had to change it because when I went to a family reunion, everyone thought I was doing porn. So there it is. That's why I spell my name the way I do.
It's a cool spelling.
I do. I agree. It was so confusing at first when I met her. I'm like, huh? Am I misspelling it?
I kept putting the I before the E, you know.
Oh, gosh.
I was doing that, Ashley. It wasn't working.
I purposely spelled it wrong so no one else would have
to take
this.
Your name.
Smart.
Yeah, very smart. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much.
May we have you back?
Of course.
All right. Awesome. All right. So appreciate it.
And all the bi people, you know, just be out proud and that people love you.
Right. And work on, you know, the reasons why if it's hard. Like, and, you know, we'll be putting out some more resources.
Yeah.
Of how to work on these kind of pieces in the way that you did, about getting rid of this internalized messages.
And yes. Oh, and if you're in town, September 21st, come and party with me because I created a bi pride, y'all. And woo! It's going to be in the city of West Hollywood. It's a glow-in-the-dark party. It's going to be fabulous.
What date is that?
September 21st.
All right. Thank you. Oh, mover and shaker, you.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Bye.
Thank you everyone for listening. Till next time. Bye, Lauren.
Till next time. Bye, Alana.
The Consciousness Salon is owned, operated, and produced by Alana Roche and Dr. Lauren. Music is produced by DJ Roche and edited by Tyler Hood.
We would love to hear from you. There are a number of ways to contact us. My website is www.drlaurencostine.com. That is DrLaurenCostine. And I have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page.
You can reach me at www.alanaroshay.com. That's AlanaRoshay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as well.
This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Lauren Costine and Alana Roche and their guests on the show. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical or mental health questions. Thank you.